I believe he went down through verse 5. So let's start reading it. Revelation chapter 8 and verse 6. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees was burnt up, and all the green grass was burnt up. The second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for the third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. Father, we pray you'd bless us tonight as we study your word. Give us an understanding of this portion of your word. Lord, touch our hearts and our lives. Prepare us for revival. Give us an incentive to invite people to come to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Give us an understanding of the times we live in and that which is to happen in the future. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we've gone through here in the book of Revelation where we are. We've already gone through the tribulation period one time in chapter 6. Went through it from an angle. We looked at some of the personages and things that are going to take place on the face of the earth. The times that we're talking about are very, very close at hand. I don't know exactly how close. I think they'll take place sometime before the year 2000. Some people date them much earlier. Some people like to date them later. But at any rate, I believe that this church age will last about 2,000 years. Now, I believe the church began at Pentecost. So therefore, we've got a period of time there from the Lord Jesus Christ and the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ up to the establishing of the church and then going right on down to the setting up of Jesus Christ's kingdom. There's a seven-year period of time, and during this seven-year period of time, the world's going to have destruction and misery and trouble like it's never seen before. Nothing will ever be like it afterwards. It is the greatest period of disaster and problems the world has ever seen. Just in our last few years, take the last 8 or 10 years, how many earthquakes have you seen? Fantastic number of earthquakes taking place in populated places. In fact, the first earthquake ever recorded in Texas was recorded this year, just a few months ago. Fascinating to me. I don't know about for you, but as I see earthquakes happening all over the place and places where they've never happened before, great cities falling, Jesus said there'd be earthquakes. There'd be earthquakes. Well, there've always been earthquakes, but not quite in the frequency in populated areas that you and I have seen just in a very, very short period of time. What we're seeing here are seven angels beginning to sound. Now, we have the introduction to this as we went through it last week. Remember, we saw in chapter 7, the two great companies of those that are saved, the saved from Israel and the saved from the rest of the world during the tribulation period. The church has been raptured out and is in heaven at this time period that we are talking about here. Now, he's talking about the seven angels. I want you to notice a similarity between some of the things that take place here and what Brother Taylor's been teaching us that's taking place in Exodus. I'm going to refer back to a few verses and have you look at them in the Exodus to see. Remember, God delivered His people, the Jews, out of Egypt with a mighty hand and tremendous miracles. Well, you know, God's going to do the same thing again out of this world, Egypt. He's going to deliver His people with a mighty hand and tremendous miracles. And the similarities are amazing when you think about some of the same things that God's going to use. Let's look at it at verse 5. Verse 6. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. And the first angel sounded. He blew his trumpet. And when he blew his trumpet, it says, there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. Look at Joel chapter 2 and verse 30, and then Exodus chapter 9. Joel chapter 2, verse 30. He prophesies and said, I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. But notice the blood and the fire and the pillars of smoke. Now look, if you will, at Exodus chapter 9, verses 22 through 26. Exodus 9, 22 through 26. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch forth thine hand toward heaven, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, on man, upon beast, and whatever herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and the fire ran along the ground, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. So there was hail and fire mingled with the hail, very grievous, such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt, since it became a nation. And the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast. And the hail smote every herb of the field, and brake every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, was there no hail. Think for a minute. God Almighty is working something in the world. And He's working something exactly like He worked before. Remember that Pharaoh in Egypt is a type of the Antichrist. And God Almighty not only judges all the gods of Egypt in the things that He performed there, but He judges the Antichrist. He judges Pharaoh. He raises him up. He sets him up and He strengthens him so that he can stand as he wants to stand. And then God brings it upon him. Even here, we see that God has allowed the Antichrist to go out and get political control and power and take over the world at this period of time. What does He do? Here comes the judgment of God. And the trumpet begins to sound. Now, if you've ever studied out the trumpet, but it wouldn't hurt to study the trumpet and see how God uses a trumpet. A trumpet is a definite instrument of God, and God uses it. So any of the trumpet players, it's sort of like being a carpenter. You know, being a carpenter's got to be a holy application, doesn't it? Jesus was a carpenter. Jesus' father was a carpenter. So any fellow that's a carpenter's got to feel like he's doing a good work, I would think. Yeah, that's what the Lord used to make His living. Well, the same way with a trumpet player. Now, you talk about a man that has something important, the fellow that played the trumpet, he's sending out to battle. And the fellow that played the trumpet, he got into withdrawal. And these angels, as they get up to sound the trumpet, it's a solemn occasion. Here's the judgment of God. God Almighty is judging this earth, and God Almighty is judging the Antichrist, and God is judging those that follow Him. God's judging Egypt. He's judging the world. So you notice there, very similar to that which took place before. Notice what happened to it. They were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. Now, I don't know whether you've noticed in the last few years what just a little drought up in Kansas and Iowa and places like this will do, or a little freeze in California, or a little freeze in South Texas or South Florida will do, or what happens whenever they don't get exactly the right rainfall or something. People starve. People starve. What you have here is something that affects the vegetation and the trees. What affects the vegetation and the trees in a world of 4, 5, or 6 billion people affects the lives and the food and the economy and everything else that has to do with their lives. I'll tell you, if all of a sudden they burned up a third of the trees that made timber, do you think being a carpenter would get more expensive? I guarantee you. Having a hard time selling jobs right now because of the price of materials and the price of buildings and stuff like this. And I don't know how in the world you young people are ever going to afford a house. If it were right now, I couldn't afford one. If I had to go in and buy the same one I'm in right now, I couldn't buy it. I couldn't afford to buy it for the prices that they've gotten to be. Or I'd have to send my wife out to work and my little kids to sell papers on the streets and popsicles or something else. In fact, I'd about have to do that to pay the electricity bill. What do you think it's going to be like when the trees and the grass get burned up? Now, I'm not a farmer. I'm not a rancher. I don't know very much about it. But as I understand it, it gets expensive to feed cattle over the winter. I've got a cousin that he just buys them, feeds them on the grass, and when it comes time he has to feed them hay, he sells them. Starts over again and buys again. I don't know whether he makes any money that way. But the way he tells me, at least he doesn't lose as much as he does if he feeds them all winter long. When all the green grass gets burned up, the green grass, not the dead grass. This must be at a time of the year when the grass is green and the grass could feed and give nutriment to the cattle and make them fat and whatever. What do you think is going to happen? Well, I'll tell you what, there's trouble. There's trouble. When this trumpet sounds, my friend, the economy is going to drop. And this nation and every other nation is dependent upon the farmers and the ranchers. They may be the low man on the totem pole and the financial scale. They may be ones that have to take losses, and many of them are going out of it year after year with tremendous problems and difficulties and trying to live in the type of society we live in and be able to make a living at it. They have to seem to get bigger and bigger and bigger, and then they get so big that they have to have tremendous amount of money. But you know something? When this really begins to affect the economy and the farmers, all of us are in trouble. You know, at the Depression, when it hit in 1929, most of the people in the United States lived on farms. I think about 1900, 80%. In 1900, 80% of the people in the United States, the population, lived on farms. They grew their own vegetables. They had their own calf or whatever, their chickens. And when the Depression hit, most of them could eat at least. I want you to notice what we're like today. 90% of the people of the United States live in cities. Where do they get their food? The grocery store. If a disaster that burned up one third of the green grass of the world took place today, how long do you think it would take for the grocery stores to be empty? And other things happening like that. What's going to happen to people in the cities? They don't have a nice little farm with chickens and eggs. They don't. My daddy said he got so tired of eating chickens. Amazing. And it made chickens and dried corn. That's what they lived on. I remember when I was young, as I can remember, my dad didn't want chicken. Everybody else would eat chicken, but my dad didn't want chicken because he'd eaten so much chicken during the Depression. They had plenty of chickens. And he chewed the chickens until he didn't want to see any more chickens. And I remember the day whenever Verlene and I were young and just fresh married and out in Roswell, New Mexico, when we ate for 2 weeks tuna fish and bread and milk. That's all we had. I don't know where we got the tuna fish. Where she bought that much tuna fish, I don't know. But all we had in the house was tuna fish. And I had a milkman come to the door delivering milk because I was an old retail milkman myself. So when the guy came to the door, I couldn't turn him down. I went ahead and let him deliver the milk, although it was higher than what I could buy at the store. But at any rate, we had milk coming to the door, and they paid me $1, and we ate tuna fish. I didn't want to see a tuna fish sandwich for years after that. I eat it now, but I didn't for a while. You and I live in a time period that all they've got to do is put the truckers on strike and you're going to go hungry. All they've got to do is have a little drought someplace and the cities are going to be hurting. And you talk about violence in the cities and long, hot summers. I'll tell you what affects the vegetation of the world is going to affect this world in the very near future. People in the cities are dependent upon the government. They're dependent on electricity. Everything in my house goes by electricity. Even the gas heater has to have an electric blower to blow it out throughout the room. You think about that a minute. If the electricity goes, I'm in trouble. And my house is built for air conditioning. There aren't enough windows in it. There's no flow of air through the thing. We are built into a society today that we are very dependent upon the water system. We don't have wells. We're dependent upon the electrical system. We don't have our own sources of power and everything. God is all geared to this thing. That's the way our houses are built. And that's one reason why the government's going to be able to control with tremendous power. You let the third of the green grass get burned up in one great disaster. You talk about the world being in a hurt. You talk about it being in a problem. When that hail and that fire come down from God, when that angel brings his judgment, the people on this earth are going to be in one fine pickle. One big mess. Well, it says the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and a third part of the sea became blood. A third of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and a third part of the ships were destroyed. A great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea. You ever thought what Hawaii is? It's just a volcano. It's a great big volcano, I'll admit. It is one tremendous, huge volcano, but that's all it is. I lived on the side of the volcano of Santa Maria. The valley we lived in was 8,000 feet above sea level, thereabout. The mountain was right at 13,000 feet. Fine, tremendous thing, climbing up there. But you know, that was a volcano that topped off. And then a fissure came out the side of the back of it, and Santiaguito. Little Santiago is another volcano building right out the back of it. And it builds up. If you've never seen a volcano shoot off, why, you've got a sight to see. It's a fascinating thing to think all that power blowing that fire out of there. And there were days, now little Santiago didn't put out great balls of fire like some of the others, like Pacaya and others. What it shot out was smoke and ashes. And we lived, 15, 20 miles maybe from Santiaguito. But as the wind was right on certain days, that would blow out enough ash to literally cover this town of 250,000 or so. Literally cover. You get up and walk out in the morning and everything's great. The reason why it was great was your whole house, your car, anything you had hanging outside was covered with ashes. And you'd go out with a broom and sweep up the ashes. You know what I think that thing, that mountain burning with fire cast into the sea is? I believe it's a volcano that blew its head off. You see, there was another one called El Quemado, the burnt one. It was a huge mountain. Supposedly the biggest volcano, the biggest mountain in all of the Americas at one time. And somewhere around 500 years ago, according to the dating with the Indians or something, it blew its head off. I mean, you climb up this thing and all of a sudden you got this great big area. What used to be a huge mountain, it just simply blew its top off somewhere and destroyed the city, the Indian city that was there, Shelahu, and whatever. Well, you know, they made a show here a while back, Krakatoa, east of Java or west of Java, and they got the direction wrong, I forget which, but it's an interesting thing to think about. This mountain, when he blows this trumpet, you talk about a disaster. I believe there's going to be an explosion of a mountain literally blowing up in the sea, so much so that the disaster that's going to be during the fire, mountain burning with fire, was cast into the sea, and a third part of the sea became blood. And a third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and a third part of the ships were destroyed. You ever heard of a tidal wave? Tidal waves and disaster. Things happening on every hand. The fish dying. What happens when you get things just a little bit out of balance from some of our fishing industries? Most of us don't catch our own fish, do we? You catch your own fish? No. You go down to the market and say, I got halibut here and redfish here and red snapper there and catfish over there and some other something like that. And all you fine shrimp eaters, boy, they've got that shrimp here at $5 a pound caught on the Gulf Coast or somewhere. You didn't catch it. What do you read in the newspaper? Well, some little something, one oil spill somewhere, wiped out all the fish of an area, and men are going out of business because they got a $100,000 boat and they can't make the payments on it because they don't get the fish. What happens when one third of the sea is destroyed and one third of the creatures in the sea, which would be fish, shrimp, and other things like that, are destroyed? Not only is the land burned up, but not only the farmers in hurt, not only the carpenters in hurt and other construction and businesses like that, but my friend, the shipping industry, not only did they lose their economy, but a third of the ships were destroyed. And a third of the sea becomes blood. You ever hear of anything like that? Look at Exodus chapter 7, verses 20 through 25. Seems like God turned water into blood at another time. When he was judging something else, or someone else. It was, by the way, a type. Exodus chapter 7, verse 20. Moses and Aaron did so as the Lord commanded, and he lifted up the rod and smote the waters that were in the river in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of the servants, and all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood, and the fish that was in the river died, and the river stank, and the Egyptians could not drink of the water of the river, and there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. God's judging the Antichrist. He had a type of it in that which he did in Egypt. And if God judged Pharaoh, and as God wiped out the land of Egypt, exactly what he's going to do to the Antichrist and those that are alive in this time period upon the face of the earth. And he's using the same things to judge them. He is going to turn the waters and the sea to blood. And a third of the ships destroyed. And a third of the animals, the creatures in the sea destroyed. Talk about hurting the economy. All I got to do is knock out one little old oyster bed someplace, and you hear people crying. Hey, I'm hurting. I can't pay my bills. What happens when a third of the ship... You know what a ship costs? You know what a ship costs? A third of the ship's destroyed in one huge disaster. One great volcanic explosion that takes an entire mountain and casts it into the sea. My, my, my. What a tidal wave. What a tidal wave. What disaster. Hurt the whole world. Well, it says in verse 10, and the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven. You ever heard of falling stars? How many of you have ever seen that great crater out in the west in Arizona where the falling star fell and hit meteorite? Tremendous, isn't it? I mean, that thing hit, and enough of it didn't burn up. It hit and made one tremendous cavern. I don't remember how many. I think it's... I'll give the wrong figures if I give them. But it's... How many miles or 2 miles? 2 miles across. 2 miles across, just like a great big cereal bowl dug out in the earth. 2 miles across. And they can tell you what angle that it hit and the weight of it and what the rock's made of and something like that. Somebody got one side. How would you like to have been an Indian sitting on a mountain somewhere like on the other side? And all of a sudden, boy, here comes this flying thing down through here and boom! I'll bet they discovered a new god or something on that very day. Well, that's not the last falling star that's going to burn up. No, my friend, here comes one, and it's named. Third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. There it is. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood. And many men died in the waters because they were made bitter. Now then, think with me just a minute about this. What we've had with the first trumpet is the vegetation on the land. With the second trumpet, we have the shipping and the fish in the sea. And now then, we've got the springs and the fountains of waters and the rivers, fresh water that people drink. You know, there's cities right today that have a real problem with water. We are a fortunate city. We've got the Edwards Aquifer, and we've got artesian wells all around out here. They just drill a well, it just flows out. Fantastic water system the city of San Antonio has in this area right around here in Texas, and some areas out in New Mexico. Fantastic water system. Water system. What would happen if tomorrow this water system here was a part of that third of the water that the underground springs were contaminated by this wormwood, and all of a sudden the water became poison? What happened to the city of San Antonio? How many of you live in your house that's got a nice well, an independent supply of water? Oh, there's a few of you country fellows, but your water might even be destroyed pretty quick. What happens to a great city? What happens to a population? You can go about 40 days without food, maybe longer. You can go about 3 days without water. Some people maybe a little longer, some a little less. You think with me just a minute. You talk about disaster. Are you realizing what's going to take place on the face of the earth when that happens right there? When that falling star comes, you know that star out there in Arizona? They haven't ever got it out. They've just gotten pieces of it out that blew up. It's down there somewhere, buried down in the earth. This great star is going to be one tremendous meteorite as it comes out, flaming as it does, and as it hits the earth. It's going to bury itself down in the depth of the earth and contaminate the water system of one-third of the world. And people are going to go out and drink the water and die. Be made sick. And those that realize what's happened to the water are going to have to move and run and hunt and find other water. And there's going to be fights over water rights and fight over drinking and just survival! Just to get food and just to get water! You talk about a disaster. No drought you've ever seen like it. No ruined water system you've ever seen like it. One third of the water of the face of the earth. You talk about troubles. They're on their way. Now this one's called Wormwood. I want you to run some references with me on Wormwood. It says, the name of the star is called Wormwood, and the third part of the waters became Wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. Amos, let's look at your book, chapter 5, verse 7. Amos, have you learned to find Amos yet?
Do that?
Have you learned to find the little book of Amos yet?
Oh, Amos.
Amos. There you go. Amos chapter 5 and verse 7. Man, if there's one book Amos better learn to find, that's Amos. That's what I've got. It doesn't look right to me. Yes it is. I've read the wrong verse. Ye who turn judgment to wormwood and leave off righteousness in the earth. You turn judgment to wormwood. Judge, turn judgment to wormwood. That's the use of the word. All right, let's look at another use of it. Amos chapter 6 and verse 12. Shall horses run upon the rock? Shall one plow there with oxen? For ye have turned judgment into gall and the fruit of righteousness into hemlock. Wormwood, gall, hemlock. Any of you great English teachers and students and Greek historians and what have you, you ever heard of anybody drinking the hemlock? Socrates. What was it? It's poison. Socrates, it was a manner of execution to drink the hemlock. Wormwood, gall, hemlock. Look if you will at Deuteronomy 29, 17 and 18. Lest there should be among you man or woman or family or tribe whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God to go and serve the gods of these nations, lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. Bitterness, poison, contamination. Jeremiah 9, 14 and 15. But have walked after the imagination of their own heart and after Balaam, which their fathers taught them. Therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will feed them, even this people, with wormwood, and give them water of gall to drink. Look at Proverbs 5, 4. Verse 3, for the lips of a strange woman droppeth in honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, and her steps take hold on hell. Bitter as wormwood, likened to a two-edged sword to death and hell. How does the Bible use it? Lamentations 3:19. Lamentations 3:19. Remembering mine affliction, my misery, the wormwood, and the gall. This star is named Wormwood. Why do you think this star is named Wormwood? God's given you a key. It's bitter, it's poison, it's judgment, and it's death. That's what its name means. And what's it going to do? It's going to contaminate one-third of the water system. That isn't going to take long to wipe people out. 3 days after that water begins to hit people, they're going to be just like they were drinking the hemlock of Socrates. They're going to be just like they were drinking poison. Their water is going to be poison. One-third of the earth. 4, 5, 6 billion people on the face of the earth. And one-third of the water system, fresh springs of water and the rivers of water, where the water system comes from that people have to drink to live, is turned by this trumpet, by this star falling, called wormwood, into bitter waters that bring forth death. Verse 12. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, whoa, I won't go on, I'll read that in a minute. The fourth angel sounded. A third part of the sun was smitten, and a third part of the moon, and a third part of the stars. So they didn't shine. You know, it's an unusual thing. I don't know how many of you have been up in the far north country and seen either very long days or very long nights, but it's an unusual thing to me. To get up at 10 o'clock at night, you know, and walk out, it's just as bright as 5 in the afternoon. Something else. I've been in Alaska whenever the night was quite long. I've been in Washington and Oregon whenever the day was quite long. And you know, as long as the days are right now, and as short as they get in the wintertime, about December or January right here in Texas, it's nothing in comparison to what it is up there in the North Country. Now what he's saying is that the sun and the moon and the stars are going to be so affected that it will affect the light system on the face of the earth. So much so that your day doesn't have the sun shining for a third part of it, and the stars are cut out at night. Let's see if we find any verses in reference to this other places in the Bible. Exodus chapter 10, verse 22. You see what takes place in the tribulation period was forecast for us when God led his people out of Egypt under the hand of their great taskmaster, Pharaoh. Just so he's going to lead his people through and out, the nation of Israel, because the church isn't going to be here. 10:22, Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. For all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. There was a difference between God's people and the people that God was judging. A thick darkness for 3 days. Well, here, the days are shortened. All of the days are shortened for a period of time. Look, if you will, at Isaiah 13:10. Wicked for their iniquity. I'll punish the world for their evil. The stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in its going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine. Look at Matthew 24:29. Matthew 24:29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Isn't that beautiful? Praise God. Now then, why do you think the sun and the moon and the stars are around? They're around for signs. Look at Luke chapter 21 and verse 25. There shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up. Lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Now understand me, that was not written to the church. That's written to the nation of Israel in the midst of the tribulation period. That's who it really applies to. Because you in the church will never see these things take place. You're going to be gone. If you're saved, you're going out. And you're going to go out before this takes place. Praise God. But think what it's going to be when the nation of Israel saved in a day goes back to the Word of God, recognizes Jesus as Lord, reads these things that I've been reading to you in prophecy, and they begin to see all the things taking place. They've gone almost all the way through the tribulation period. Disasters and troubles coming on the face of the earth. All of a sudden they see what happens to the sun. And they see what happens to the stars. And they see what happens to the moon. And they see the distress of the nations. And the roaring of the sea, tidal disaster everywhere. He said, lift up your head. Your redemption draweth nigh. You see, the first time Jesus comes, when he comes from the church, he comes silently as a thief in the night. Unexpectedly. The world doesn't see him. The church is gone. The world goes on. Antichrist sets up his kingdom and his power. He begins to rule in a tremendous reign of peace for a short while, or a conquer of the world, but at any rate, he begins to set up a world government, so to speak, and he promises peace, peace. He makes a pact with the nation of Israel, and then he turns on them, and tremendous trouble and disaster come. And all of these things begin to fall upon the face of the earth. And then as they begin to look up and see the sign of the Son of Man. You see, the second advent of Jesus Christ, when he comes back to set his feet upon this earth, the world's going to see him coming. They're going to see his sign in the heavens. They're going to know by what's written right there in the verse that I just read you that the time is near. But after that takes place, Jesus' sign, I don't know what that'll be. I've seen artists depicted as a great cross of light somewhere out there in the heavens. I don't know what the sign of the coming of the Son of Man will be, but they'll recognize it. Because the world's going to know Jesus is coming back, and they're going to cry to hide from the wrath of the Lamb. Well, at any rate, look, if you will, at... I've got Genesis. Justin, what is my marking on that one?
Genesis 1:14.
That's it. Genesis 1:14. Thank you. Sure glad you copied mine, because my pen messed up on that one. My typist was in error. Genesis 1:14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. You know what that sun's doing up there every day coming up and going around? It's a sign. You know what the moon's doing every night with all of its different phases and things that are taking place? It's a sign. You know what the stars are out there for? They're out there for signs. And when things begin to take place in the heavens, you can look up. It's a sign. It's a picture of something. Let's look at Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, and a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. You ever heard anything like that before? Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. See, there is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God and the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her in that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he has made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow. He cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still. Know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. God of Jacob is our refuge. Praise the Lord. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Praise God. You see, no matter what happens on the face of the earth, we have a refuge in our life. And understand me, that's a Jewish psalm written to Jewish people, and it's going to be a comfort in the midst of the tribulation as they think, though the mountains roar, and the waves roar, and they shake, and they swell, and earthquakes take place, and disasters happen everywhere. Yes, they're going to look to the Word of God, and they're going to find a comfort within it. The fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten. That's a sign. The third part of the moon, that's a sign. The third part of the stars. So the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. You know, just like in Egypt, people are going to have to stay in bed. They're not going to be able to drive and go. They're going to have some problems, and their hearts are going to be failing them. I've seen people really get scared when some little something happens just slightly different from what they're used to seeing. Well, we had not a lot of earthquakes in Guatemala. We had a lot of earth tremors where the earth would just simply shake for a little while. It wasn't a great earthquake like some of them that are happening right now to tear the whole cities down, But just every so often you'd be walking along, all of a sudden, you know, you catch yourself for a minute and hang on to something, and everything moves a little bit, and then it stops and goes on. I have literally seen people grab a hold of telephone poles, waiting on a bus, grab a telephone pole to have something to hang on to. I've seen them drop down and fall on their face on the ground because they were scared when the earth shook. Tell you what, people's hearts are going to be failing them for fear. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, you think I'm loud? Whoa! 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 It's amazing how many things in the Bible come out with a loud voice. To the inhabitants of the earth, that I'm going to be in heaven. Praise the Lord. By reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels, which are yet to sound. Have you noticed the division again? It's amazing how it follows in Revelation 4 and 3. 4, 2, and 1. 4 and 3. 4, 2, and 1. It's amazing how God deals with numbers. He might ought to study a little numerology. Might give you a little insight into some things. Here's 4. There are 3 yet to come. They're going to be divided into 2 and the 1. Well, let's look. Chapter 9. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. And to him, hey, notice that. You read the word? Just believe what you read. I saw a star fall from heaven, and to him, that star is a personage. I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Somebody says, how can you have a bottomless pit? Let's be very scientific about it. How can you have a bottomless pit? And some scientists and some modernistic preachers have gotten themselves all uptight because the Bible talks about a bottomless pit. How do you have a bottomless pit? Just drill a hole right straight down through to China and drop you a rock and see how far it gets. It won't ever come out at China, I promise you. You drop it in here and it's going to go down and get somewhere in the center of the earth and start bouncing back and forth with the gravitational pull in the center of that earth. You know where the bottomless pit is? It's down in the center of the earth. Then no bottom to it. Everything's up. Whichever way you go is up. You ever thought about that? Don't make fun of God's word. Just take it and believe it. Amen? You'd be a whole lot wiser. You'd be wiser than your teachers and wiser than college professors with PhDs and PhDs. There's a bottomless pit. God said so.
Amen.
Just because you can't reason it out doesn't mean somebody else can't. Use your noggin for something besides hair fertilizer. You might think it through yourself. Amen. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key. Not only is there a bottomless pit, there's a lock on the door. There's a lock on the door. And I got an angel coming down from heaven that's got the key. That means he can open it and he can close it. You know who that key belongs to? Jesus. Jesus got the key. Well, at any rate, fascinating thing there. And he opened the bottomless pit. There arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Some of you have probably been to a great cave. Now, there's a cave. I'm trying to think of the name of it here. Well, the spelunkers would know which one it is. There's more bats come out of this cave. It's within 30, 40 miles of San Antonio. It's not a well-known cave that people go into, but there's a tremendous number of bats come out of it. A lot of the guys that go down and discover caves and go through it, this is one of their places that they go to and they, you know, go to photograph the bats. I've seen the bats several times at Carlsbad Caverns. Fascinating thing. I understand when locusts cover the earth that it just can be just dark. Just like it was night with a moon out or something like that. Just literally cover the sky where you couldn't see a thing. When he opens this pit, smoke ascends out of that pit. as of a great furnace. And he says, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. And unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. I want you to notice this creature that's going to come out of the bottomless pit. God calls it a locust. But it's a locust with a tail. And that tail is like a scorpion. Now, we've had a few scorpions around here. I lived in a house one time, the one Linda was born in. Everything around it was scorpions and black widow spiders. I never saw so many in all my life. Every day we kill scorpions and black widow spiders and worried about our kids. Somebody killed one. I guess I did. Or somebody did here a while back up here on the ceiling. And in the nursery, they found one tonight. Killed a scorpion. So there's some of them around this area. Some of you mean ones have brought them in. But at any rate, there's some scorpions. And you know, one thing about a scorpion, he doesn't fly down and get you on the back of the neck generally. Generally, you've got to pick up a rock and stick your finger there or move a box somewhere and he comes crawling up and gets you. These are flying scorpions called locusts. Now, just believe it. Just believe it. All your biggest problem in the Word of God is believing it. Take it as it's written. Quit trying to change it. Just take the Word as it says. See if you can't fit it. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them they should not hurt the grass of the earth. Hey, locusts aren't going to hurt the grass. Neither any green thing, neither any tree. Can you imagine what kind of locusts these are? They're not going after grass or trees or green things. But only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. These locusts are manhunters. You know, most snakes, scorpions, spiders, foxes, dogs will run from you. Most of them. Now, when you get a hold of a fox that's going to chase you and bite you, the chances are it's rabid. It's gone crazy by reason of disease. The same way with snakes and animals. They're going to run from you. Everything on the face of the earth is afraid of man. It's really true. But here are locusts that want men. They're not afraid of them. They attack them. You ever seen what the locusts will do to your grass and your trees? That's what they're going to do to men. Hey, you talk about a tie. Man, this is exactly what's going to happen here. The locusts are going after men. Look what they're going to do. The only ones they're going after are those that have not had the seal of God on their foreheads. God's told an angel to seal some. And those that have been sealed will not be hurt by the locust. Remember, like the darkness covered only Egypt and didn't touch the Israelites? Like the other plagues that happened, many of them touched the Egyptians and didn't touch the Israelites. Even so, we have the same type of division right here. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. Now, I don't know how many here have been bitten by a scorpion, but it's no fun. Can you imagine getting bitten by a scorpion and it lasts for 5 months? That'd get a little rough. And let me tell you something else. Why don't you check this out in biology? The natural lifespan of a locust is 5 months. Interesting. At least I thought it was. And in those days shall men seek death. Think how many people have already died. In those days shall men seek death and shall not find it. And shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. Now, let me ask you something. What is a horse like when it's prepared to battle? You ever seen a battle horse? Most of you have seen movies. Well, some of those movies You've seen the guys do the jousting and what have you. What they do, they put armor on the horses. They put armor plate on the horses. Sometimes the guys down, if you went to bullfights in Mexico and Spain and wherever, the people that are using these horses up against the bulls, they protect them against the horns with quilted blankets that go around the animal. They're protected. These locusts have the sting of a scorpion, and they're like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were, as it were, like crowns of gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. They had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. Now you get the picture. Remember what John is describing is a vision. It's what he's seeing. He described what he's seeing. If you think that won't give you nightmares, isn't that something? Can you imagine this little locust flying out with the face of a man, the teeth of a lion, the hair of a woman prepared like a horse to battle on a scorpion's tail? You ever watched Inner Sanctum or Project Terror? You ever watched the green blob and what it does to the animals that are on the face of the earth, and all of a sudden scorpions get big and start crawling on the face, big spiders and what have you? Listen, that's not so far from the truth. You talk about a horror story, it's going to take place on the face of the earth in just a few short years. And they're going to come out of hell. You better get saved. You better get right with God. You better get every friend you've got saved. Because if you don't, the friends that are alive today, they'll either die in the disasters that take place, or they'll go right through this unsealed by God, because the ones that are going to be sealed are going to be the nation of Israel. They're going to go through this disaster. If you got any friend at all, you better try to get them saved. Teeth as the teeth of lions. They have breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron. Pretty hard to kill something like that, you know. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of the chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions. And there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. How much pain have you gone through in your life? You know, I guess if there's one thing that I really don't want. I've been with enough people in hospital beds. I've been with enough people that died slow deaths. I watched some of them fight for every breath of air. I had a friend in New Valley that died. He was a man my size. Been a big truck driver and smoked a couple of packs a day most of his life. The day came where emphysema got him. They did everything. They tried to operate and cut nerves, do anything in the world to help that man breathe. But he died a slow, painful death of years of fighting to get the air out of his lungs and get another breath. He lay on the bed. He couldn't sleep at night. I mean, days and days without sleep. Exhausted. Fighting to get air in. Fighting to get air out. Fighting to get air in. Fighting to get air out. I said, as I've seen so many people, I've seen them burn. Had a lady that was burned, and for months they peeled the skin off of her. She lay naked down at the Baptist Hospital for I don't know how long. Just naked as could be. Because her body was burned over almost all. She lived. She finally got out of that hospital. I don't know what the expenses were. I don't know she'd ever get out of debt if she ever could pay the bills. Tremendous pain. I said, Lord, oh my. I don't mind going, but I don't want to go that way. 5 straight months of scorpion bites. 5 straight months of swelling and pain. Yeah, men are going to want to die. Many a person laying on a bed says, I'd rather be dead than where I am right now. Let me die. Let me die. Somebody let me die. Sometimes somebody in mercy will go ahead and kill him. You'll read about it every once in a while with a husband or a wife or a son or a daughter. Performs a mercy killing because they've seen them in such pain. I can understand it. I don't say I necessarily agree with it, but I can understand it. You watch enough pain. Well, that's what's going to happen right here. It says in verse 11, and they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit. whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue his name is Apollyon. One woe is past. Behold, there come two woes more hereafter. Let's look, if you will, at Daniel chapter 8, verses 10 through 14. I personally don't believe Jimmy Carter is the Antichrist. I don't know that he's saved. He might be a witch. I don't have any idea what he is. But I don't believe he's the Antichrist. He might be his messenger. But I got a reason or two for believing it. Notice here in verse 8. Let me just give you a little bit of Daniel. I got 5 minutes. Therefore the he-goat waxed very great, and when he was strong, the great horn was broken, for it came up four notable ones toward the four winds of heaven, and out of one of them came forth a little horn, which waxed exceeding great toward the south, toward the east, toward the pleasant land. And it waxed great even to the host of heaven, and it cast down some of the host and of the stars to the ground, and stamped upon them. Yea, he magnified himself even to the prince of the host. And by him the daily sacrifice was taken away, and the place of the sanctuary was cast down. And an host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression. And he cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. And I heard one saint speaking, and another saint which said unto that certain saint which he spake, how long shall be the vision concerning the daily sacrifice and transgression of desolation, to give both the sanctuary and the host to be trodden underfoot? And he said unto them, under 2,300 days, then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. Now, he says in verse 17, understand, O son of man, for the time of the vision shall be, of the time of the end shall be the vision. It says, the ram, verse 20, which thou sawest, having two horns, are the kings of Persia and Media, and the rough goat is the king of Greece. That's Alexander the Great. This rough goat, verse 8, the he-goat waxed very great, was Alexander the Great. The great horn between his eyes is the first king. That's him. He being broken, whereas four stood up with it, the four kingdoms shall stand up out of that nation, but not in his power. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors are come to the full, a king of fierce countenance and understanding dark sentences shall stand up, and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. And he shall destroy wonderfully, shall prosper in practice, shall destroy the mighty and holy people. And so on. In the last part of verse 25, he shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. Now understand me just a little bit about what is said right here. It says Alexander the Great waxed strong, and he's broken. He dies at 33 years old, somewhere about that age, 30 to 33. When he died, his four generals set up four great kingdoms. Rome was one of them. And the four notables ones toward the four winds of heaven. And out of one of them came forth the little horn. The little horn is the Antichrist. You see, when Alexander the Great was broken and died, four generals set up four great kingdoms, and they became what's known as the Roman Empire. Later on, controlled and conquered by Caesar and Augustus, Julius and Augustus Caesar. The Antichrist is going to come out of Rome. And the only way any American could be the Antichrist is that America, with its Roman-style government, could be a part of the extension of the Roman Empire. So there's a possibility. But I believe the Antichrist will come out of Rome, out of that area over there. At any rate, notice what he did, and the reason why I turned it to it, I just threw that in for free. He waxed great, even to the host of heaven, and he cast down some of the hosts and of the stars to the ground and stamped them on them and magnified himself. Saw a star fall from heaven to the earth. To him was given the key of the bottomless pit. In verse 11, they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon. In the Greek tongue, his name is Apollyon. It means a destroyer. Look, if you will, at another verse, Isaiah 14, 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? Look, if you go to Revelation 12, 4. Verse 3 said, there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads, and 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his heads. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered for devour her child as soon as it was come up. Who do you think that is? It's Satan. It's Satan. When the fifth angel sounds, my friend, hell breaks loose on earth. Because specially created beings made like unto locusts with the faces of men, with intelligence and a leader, come out of the bottomless pit and the smoke of the pit, and they torment everybody on the face of the earth except those who've been sealed by God Almighty in their foreheads and in their hands. They don't hurt the grass as locusts normally do. They don't hurt the trees as locusts normally do. They live the lifespan of a normal locust. They have the face of a man, the hair of a woman, the teeth of a lion, and the sting of a scorpion in their tail. And they bring such a torment upon the face of the earth that men want to die and can't. Desire to die and can't get out of it. That's woe, number one. There are two yet to come. Now, anybody have a question? My time's up. You must know it all.
Well, no, I don't have a question. Getting back to this food situation, which we're getting into, particularly the people of Japan are fully lean on fish.
Mm-hmm.
And I just read an article, probably a lot of people other did too. People that are selling on the market for $21 a pound.
Well, my favorite food is beef and potatoes. I guess I'd go away from it. I don't believe I'd eat too much over there. What did you say?
I said we're getting close to it.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Lulu, what third part of the earth do you think would be, if it were affected?
Which part affected? Huh?
Yeah, which, I mean, like, which third part of the earth do you think, if it were affected, would create this worldwide disaster?
My personal belief, it'll be Europe and Asia Minor.
What about
anything around the Mediterranean Sea, Europe and Asia Minor, all that area is going to be a disaster area. As far as, you're looking at an area... there's a verse or two that would lean that way.
Which countries provide most of the world's meat supply?
United States. Well, I'm not saying that all of it's going to happen on that one part, you see. You could have a third part with things just spotty. You know, only probably a third of the earth supplies food, period. There you go. Might be just that one third. So I don't know. What? That's right. Yeah. Yeah. It could happen at different spots, you see.
You spread all over too, and you take up a third of it.
That's right. You go either way. The Bible doesn't tell us. There are a couple of indications, though, that certain things that are going to happen are going to happen in that area. I want you to think for just 1 minute that a little bitty nation of just 3 million people could demand the attention of the greatest superpowers and all the minor powers of the entire earth in the day in which we live. Years ago,